Amen. Take your Bible. Psalm 119 and verse 67. Verse 67. Can I ask the first one here to turn the floodlights on our church? There's a couple of reasons. Number one is so people can see we're open. Number two, if a little child is running in the dark shadows, at least we can see them. So I appreciate you doing that. You're the first one here. Go in there. It says floodlights right on the switch. Just flip it on. It's in the first Sunday school room, and you open up the breaker box, and it's on the left side, and it says floodlights. Just whack them and I really appreciate that. It's for safety, and I appreciate you doing that. All right, Psalm 119, verse 67. Let's stand and read God's Word tonight. Behold, I was afflicted. I went astray. Excuse me. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Thou art good, and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is fat as grease, but I delight in the law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. How many of you have ever gone through some pretty rough times and you didn't know which way to go, just went to the book and you started reading the book and all of a sudden there it was. There's something that living book, that living Word of God gave you. Well, he said, it was good for me that I have been afflicted. Not too many people say that. We're whining and complaining and griping and doggone it, everybody else has got it made and how come I have to go through this junk? Rah, rah, rah. Huh? Yeah. All he says is you'll be able to learn the Word of God, the statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto thee than thousands of gold and silver. Father, I pray tonight you'd help us as we look into the Word of God. We love you and we thank you for all you've given to us. You are a great God, a magnificent God. You give us what we need and you hold back things that we don't need. You allow things happen to us that we would know your word better. And we find out that those are some of the greatest days of our life. Lord, now speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. First of all, as whoever's writing this, I don't know if it's David or who, maybe Hezekiah. Who's writing this? He is, there's a confession he's making. He said, I went astray. I don't know about you, but boy, it's pretty easy to go astray. It's pretty easy to go down the wrong path. It's pretty easy to do something we shouldn't do. It's pretty easy to say something we shouldn't say. He admits it. He confesses it. The Bible says confession is good for your soul. One man said confession is good for your soul, but lousy for your reputation. But anyway, first of all, there was confession. He said, I want to stray. You know, that's really true about all of us in Adam's race. All of us in some way, somehow, have gone astray. Scripture says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. To stray is natural to a sinner. This is as stray as sheep is to go astray. I don't know if it, how many ever raised sheep? Ever been around sheep? I guess I'm the expert here tonight because I'm the only one who raised my hand. I grew up on a farm. My dad always had about 200 certified ewes. They said they were the finest sheep in Midland County. My dad was very careful about that. He went to Michigan State University and learned a lot. Learned a lot in animal husbandry. And when he came home, we'd always had sheep on the farm. But my dad went ahead and really quote unquote went hybrid, you almost say. And he was very careful about his sheep. And on our farm, we used to have this old pet. She was raised from the bottle. She's just a little thing, and all of a sudden raised from the bottle. All of a sudden, she turned out to be quite a ewe. But after a while, that old pet, she'd always get out. And, I mean, the trouble with her getting out was that all the rest of the, most of them would follow the crazy old thing. And finally, my dad, he just finally gave up on her. I think she was 8 or 9 years old. And he said, that's enough. I'm selling that old goat, that old beast. He sold her. And you know what happened? Sheep stopped getting out of him, man. Yeah. You know, some people just have a way of getting out. And there's a lot of people like us that just follow those that get out. We don't think that things are very important. And we are unfaithful. And we walk the ways of the world. And we think, well, if she's doing it, then I guess I can do it. And woe is me, amen. Well, then after his confession, there is a conversion. Listen to what he says in verse 67, verse 6. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. As long as I was left by myself, I pleased myself. But affliction came and it brought me to my senses. Anybody know anybody in the Bible that happened to? Huh? Job? Not really Job. He pretty much knew what he was doing. Yes? Prodigal son. He went away from God. He went away from his father. But when he got there in the eating pig husk, then he remembered back home that his dad had a whole bunch of servants, and his daddy took real good care of his servants. Servants didn't have a lack of anything. And he said, I know what I'll do. I'm kind of hungry here. These old pig husks, they don't taste very good. I'm going to head home. And when I head home, I'm going to tell my dad, Daddy, I've sinned against you, I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your servants. I think that's where salvation comes, amen. That's when we see ourselves and we see God and we see the world and we've seen the junk of the world. Boy, we had it really going for a while. Our Christmas cantata this year. And you remember the guy that, what was his name? Chip. Old Chip, you know, he finally got to the point in his life that, you try to lead him astray, boy, shame on you. But anyway, he finally came back. But afflictions came and brought him to his senses, and brought him back from that far country. And he went astray before he was afflicted. He no longer goes astray. Then there's the consecration. He said, you know what? I'm not going to go this way anymore. And look what the psalmist says in the rest of it. It said, but now have I what? Kept thy law. Or kept thy word. That is the value of affliction. There's value in affliction. There's value of troubles. There's value of sorrows. There's values of going astray. If there's any such a thing as that. And the value is you see how terrible it is and how rotten it is to the core. All the world, boy, I tell you what, they got the bright lights. They got the loud music. They got the hot cars and the hot motorcycles. And they got the lovely cabins and they got all that junk. But when it really comes down to it, it's just not there. And for us Christians, we sometimes start thinking about that. And all of a sudden, afflictions come to our hearts and our lives and say, you know what, this is not where I was heading for. This is not what I want. And it's not going to last very long. This is not going to last very long. The pretty girls, they get older and wrinkles start. And they start having to go to the doctors, and they're sick. And they start getting older. And the young men that used to have the big chest, now they dropped in his drawers. they used to be strong and keen and sharp and quick. Some of you guys in the military, when you went through boot camp, boy, wouldn't you like to be in that kind of shape today? But you're not that point now. You're going to a new direction. You're doing a new. You're at a new area in your life, and you got to use your brains more than bronze. Amen. And you got to be thinking. How can I do this better? These young guys, they can do it. But us old guys don't take it very long. We're going to figure it out. We're going to get it done, amen, a little easier. Or we'll get a couple guys and say, hey, go get that for me, amen. Or park my car, amen. The value of affliction to bring swiftly to the end of ourselves. David. David discovered the chastening of God. I don't know about you, but I don't like the chastening of God. That means I've done something wrong. I'll tell you what, if the Bible is true, which it is, for whatsoever a man sow, he reaps, you will. God will meet you someday. It may not today. You remember the story of Jezebel? Jezebel's a wicked old woman. Wicked, wicked woman. And God told her, you're going to die. Elijah told her that. The dog's going to eat you and lick your blood. And she laughed at the man of God. But 38 years later, that's a long time. 38 years later, old Jehu, throw her down! And they threw her down. And they went and get something to eat. And while they're in there getting something to eat, the old doggies were having a good old feast right out there. You know what? Read it. They did not hit her face, did not eat her hands or her feet. Because they were so wicked, the dogs wouldn't even eat her. Amen. It's incredible. 38 years. You may travel all you want and snub your nose at God and fist your hand to God, but I'm going to tell you something. There's a day coming. Payday come day. Payday someday. It's coming. Trading's going to come in. It's going to come in one of these days. It may be that the way you lived as a young person, it's going to ruin your health. And you're not going to be able to live as long as you could have if you would have not. You would have messed with drugs. You would have messed with booze. And you would have messed with smoking and on and on and on. I'm not saying it's going to happen to you. I guess that's between you and God, amen? Well, change channels here. God chasteneth his children. All parents are disciplinarians, should be. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. You ought to write that in the back of your Bible, especially young people. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. You ever been chastened? My mom would get a hold of my one hand, and she just chased me in a circle, amen. I'll tell you what, brother, I was almost going to make, I was almost made butter, man. I'll tell you, she just kept chasing me around, chasing me around. She said, son, I'm going to chase you till you stop. Whew! I was pretty stupid. There's a sorry parent who won't chasten his children. You're sorry people. You're going to give that little snotty-nosed brat girl to one of the boys that's maybe sitting next to you tonight. And he's going to have a terrible time with her in marriage. Because he didn't break her will. I don't mean crush them. But there'll be a point in their life they'd be willing to submit to the authority. And if you don't teach them how to submit to authority, you're in trouble. Aren't you? Some of you girls never have this. Never came to the point your authority, you've been willing to come to authority. It's been bothering you. It's a terrible thing. I'm not going to do what he says. Well, read your wedding vows. See what they said. Amen. Everybody ought to read their wedding vows at least once a year. I think that ought to be the law. The day of your wedding, you ought to read that wedding vow and see what it says. Boy, there's some pretty good stuff in there. Amen. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statute. Verse 68. God is holy. So all his ways are holy. God is love. It's a characteristic of God. Characteristic of all he does. Aren't you glad about that? God is love. God is good. So goodness characterizes all his purposes. Man, I'm glad I've got a God that's good and know that he means, he knows it's meant well. We know it's done well. We know there's no question if it's right or wrong. God did it, amen. God is kind, so kindness is a mark of all his dealings with us. And by the way, let this mind be in you who is all Christ Jesus. The Bible said we're to be kind. Shame us, shame on us when we're ornery and ugly. Shame on us when we're unwilling to settle down
and be calm and be quiet. And some, hey, it'd be a good idea sometimes to let somebody make a mistake. God didn't call you to be the mistake fixer-upper or cleaner-upper or tell them what's wrong with them. Oh, I know about them. No, you don't know about them. Only God can judge their motives. You can't judge a person's motives. You can't judge it. Quit it. Shut up. Shame on you. I was praying the other day. I said, oh God, I pray for our church that people be very careful and how they act and react to other people in a church. It's how they say some mean things and awful things. And drive them to, some to drive them to suicide. Are you kidding me? Is that God? Who put you on this earth to be to be the tattletale? Who put you on this earth to be the judge? Who put you? See, God gives us an area of responsibility. Everyone has an area of responsibility. Every one of us. Jim Donahue, your responsibility to that little lady right to you. Nobody else. You're responsible to her. And Julie, your area of responsibility to him. Oh, let me tell you something. It's not your responsibility what Jonah does anymore because you said you let him get married. So that's off. You're done. Kapui. Finished. If he asks for questions, we'll ask for deals, that's when you come. But you're not supposed to stick your dirty nose into it. I know it's very hard. Boy, there's a lot of things I'd like to go 1, 2, 3, 4, punch, 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 punch. And let my family know, hey, that was really stupid. But you know what? I did some stupid stuff when I was growing up. I know you can't believe that. We all have areas of responsibility. Jane Cortez, your area of responsibility is your wife and your children are sitting in your home. You said that she could be married to this man. Not your responsibility anymore. That's exciting, isn't it? There's your responsibility. When it comes to church, it is not your responsibility to know what people are wearing or say something what people are wearing. Let me say that again so that maybe some of you we'll get it. It's not your responsibility what people wear at our church. It is not your responsibility to what people wear in this church. I'm going to say it until you say amen. Amen. It is not your responsibility. Guess who the responsibility is? Now you're looking at him. Yeah. This is church. This church, God gave me the responsibility to be pastor of this church. And let me tell you something. When I hit heaven's gates and I stand before the holy God, I am given an account for what I did as a pastor. Read Revelation. Boy, every time I read that Revelation, it scares the bejeebers out of me. Some of you think it's your responsibility to tell what people ought to wear. Or what people ought to do, or what they... No, it's not your responsibility. You take care of your area of responsibility. Take care of it. And I could really help you in the fact that I could come and talk to you about some of the things that you need some work on yourself. If you'd like that, just come on and see me. But I'm praying to God and begging God that I don't have to do that, that through the preaching of the Word of God, you can catch it. I think you're old enough to know. I pastored a church in Elkton, South Dakota. When I was passing there, there's a couple of people in that church that thought that they were the most fundamentalist and the most biblicist, and they knew everything. But they had the most terriblest testimony in the whole town. People in town were talking about it, but they knew that it'd be best. It's kind of like that little thing that says, everybody has a crazy in their family. And if you don't know who it is, it's probably you. Be very careful how you put yourself out and put yourself in the responsibility. The Bible says where much is given, much is required. I spoke to some of our ladies in our church and said, hey, you know what, I think it would be better if you, in fact, I'll talk to your husband first. And I asked your husband to come to my office with me. I'm not going to talk to you alone unless you're, if you're married. I'd hope that he'd want his wife to be carefully clad so it would not bring embarrassment or immoral thoughts. Amen. That ought to be for the amen of the men. Amen.
Wow.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. I want my wife to look good. I want her to be clothed. I don't want her to be bending over and having to do this. If you bend over and do that, you know it's too low. Or you do this all the time, you know it's too high. Hey, come on. Think I'm stupid or something? Don't answer that. To blame God for every... let's see, where am I at here? God is good. And God is kind. So kindness marks all dealings with us. To blame God, even indirectly, for suffering or sickness or sadness or sorrow in this world, that's slandering Him. And say, God, you don't know what you're doing with me. Have you ever had any child tell you that? Have you ever had a teenager? You just don't understand. Ever had anybody do that? Are you telling me that I don't know I'm your dad or I'm your mother and you don't think I know what's going on? No, don't slander me. I'm telling you, don't do that. Don't question me on that. He is good. It is impossible for Him to be cruel. It's impossible for God to be unkind. It's impossible to be vengeful. He will not do that. Get it to yourself. Get it to your head. When something happens, God is trying to get you to another level. God's bringing you to another experience. God's bringing you to another adventure. He said, oh my goodness, what is going on? I just want to tell you this. It didn't surprise God. Okay? These things don't surprise God. He knows what's happening. He knows what you go. He knows what people are saying about you. God is good, and it's impossible for him to be cruel, unkind, or vengeful. God, oh God, he says, I should like to be like you. Boy, listen to that. What a higher ambition than all the world. He said, dear God, I want to be like you. Oh, I wish I could get every person in this church here to that church and say, you know what, God, I just want to be like you. Boy, I'd straighten a lot of things out. I've been doing a study on the Lord Jesus Christ in his early years. There's not much said about him, you know. They're from the beginning and the circumcision and the bringing to the temple and then all of a sudden, 12 years old and down in the temple with the doctors. But what it just amazes me, and it really doesn't amaze me, but it should be amazing, is that this, that he went and was subject unto his parents until he was 30 years old. You don't hear anything about it. Incredible. God who spoke this world into existence. Now the psalmist records a twofold reaction to his reaction to the world in this verse, verse 69. He tells us that his reactions to those that are sneering him, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. He said they have forged a lie. They made up a lie. Anybody ever forged a lie about you? How many had anybody forged a lie about you? Would you raise your hand? My goodness, sounds like everybody else. Everybody's got that same problem, right? Well, let's see what this man of God does about it. I was reading a little story and it says, nothing is harder to accept than to have one's character smeared by deliberate lies that someone has invented or propagated with malice and seen to be accepted with success. There's nothing worse than that. When mud is thrown and it sticks, it only after time has done its work. And the worst can be brushed off, but often it leaves a stain. That's one of Satan's favorite tactics He's the proud one in whom the psalmist speaks. He is also the father of lies, who plenty of people are willing to do the dirty work of this world. Sad thing is that all too often Christians are far more ready to believe something that's bad about a believer than believe something that is good. Why is that? Well, back a neighbor of mine back in Michigan called me up and said, "Hey, Sheldon," he said, "I just want you to know that I'm branching out a little bit. I'd like to farm your farm." And I said, "Well, that's fine." I said, "I appreciate that. But," I said, "you know, it's just such a little farm." And I said, "The man that's doing it right now is doing a fine job. In fact, his dad used to farm that farm for my dad. And his son is farming the farm for me right now. And I'm really happy what's going on. And I just rather not change right now." Before I could say any more, he told me of something that I should know about my farmer that's farming my place, and he blurted it out before I could stop him. He said, "I've heard that there's been some people that he's been cheating some of the farmers and not paying farmers proper amount for their money, their crops." I said, I don't believe that. I'm really happy with what he's doing. He's very honest to me. And you know, the next time I got a check from that farm, guess what hit me in the first thing in my brain? Can somebody tell me what would have happened to you? Well, I hope he did right towards me.
Man, I hate that.
And this is what he said when he hung up. He said, "Oh, by the way, don't tell him that. I just heard that." I want to just punch him through the telephone. He told me something. I don't know if it's right or wrong. I hope it's not right. But he said it was hearsay. That broke my heart. This man has been farming our farm for over almost 50 years now. Has he cheated me? No, he didn't cheat me. He cheats Heritage Baptist Church, and he cheats God. Because there's a lot of money going to this church because of that. And I told him one time, I said, "Boy," I said, "you mess with me." I said, "The problem is," I said, "you're messing with my boss." He says, "Your boss?" I said, "Yeah, Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. So make sure you're good to my farm." Man. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 16 through 19. These six things that the Lord hates. You know, if I was a smart man, if I was a man of wisdom, I would be very careful. I didn't do anything that God hated. Amen? That's a good idea. Hey, you growing up, you love your dad. You know your dad hates certain things. You don't do those things. Amen? You know you're gonna make him mad. Ho! 16 doth the Lord hate, yea, 7 of the abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, hand that shed innocent blood, a heart that deceiveth with imagination, feet that are swift, running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. That man sowed discord with me. And the next time I get to Michigan, I'm going to go down and sit down with him. And after I get the facts, I'm going to ask him to come with me. And we're going to talk to the other farmer. That's a terrible thing to say a man is cheating. That's a terrible thing, a man is taking advantage of people. Then he tells his reaction to the smugness. He says, "Their hearts are like grease, but I delight in the law." With a few words, he pictures the individual that's lying about him. He was too honest to pretend to like them and forgive them. Fatness in the Bible is not something necessarily culturally negative among us. It was a sign of prosperity and well-being. Jonathan's Jotham parable was that the trees of the forest were invited the olive tree to come to reign over them and refuse. "Shall I leave my fatness wherewith by my thy honor God and men? He replied, the olive. So I pray that we be very careful. Hey, listen, in 2015, let's be very careful what we say. Be very careful what we appear to say. You know, when that guy said that to me, that did not help me a bit. It just made me just sick inside. Not because I was losing any money, nothing. It just made me sick inside because that man was saying something bad about that man. Let's be very careful at Harry's Baptist Church. We're very careful what we say about other people. Amen? Let's be very careful about that. You know, there's a lot of things going on in this town. A lot of things going on in this town. By the way, there's some pretty good churches in this town. It'd be best if you just take care of Heritage Baptist Church. This is where you belong. This is where you live. Leave those other churches alone. Let's get out and sow in. Let's get out and fill those buses. Let's get out and do the things for God. And let's be on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ 2015. Say, you know what? This is a good year. We're gonna do some great things for God. Man, it's exciting about what God has for us. Isn't it exciting what God has for every one of us? Exciting about your Sunday school class, exciting about the nurseries, excited about our other class, our ladies' meetings, the things that are going on. Be excited about some things. Our youth, man, get excited about some things. Let's do some stuff. Let's do some things to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? There's a whole bunch of people out there that are not going to church. There's a whole bunch of people out there that have not the Savior, Jesus Christ. And if we don't win them, who's going to? That's our job. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, I love you, and I just pray that you just help us to live for you. Lord, help us be very careful about this mouth that you've given us. Oh, my goodness. It's always in trouble. God, please, I beg you to help us to be very careful what we say or even insinuate about some person. Lord, please, keep us strong in serving you. Lord God, bless our church. Help us, Lord, we serve in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I got a couple.